Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Thank you. And it's okay, she called me Zhenya, because Zhenya and Vera, it's like one person. Yeah, it's fine. People always do this, because we are like twins, Zhenya and Vera. You cannot separate the two. So it's very strange for me to be here without my husband. But believe me, he believes in women, and he was praying for this meeting, and he's praying right now with coffee probably, but he's still praying, okay? And wow, I did not expect you to tell this story, because exactly a year ago, God told us to write a book about our 30-year journey. So this October will be exactly 30 years, the moment the church started, which you and your husband and Barry Taylor get in your heart. And I know this church was a baby. It happened 30 years ago. And it's exactly 30 years we are saved, because we were first converts in that church. And God told us a year ago to write a book. And the title of this book, Epoch. And always I need to explain to people, because it's not epic, it's epoch. E-P-O-C-H. I can't even spell in English right now. Epoch means something significant in the history of mankind. It could be few years or one event, something very specific. And, you know, in the history of our lives or in the lives of our countries, we do have this epoch moments or epoch seasons. So after so many years, 70 plus years of atheism in my land, 30 years ago, God started to write a new story. New epoch story, and we are celebrating 30 years. And exactly a year ago, God told us to write a book. And when we started to write a book, actually, it's not my message, but I feel like I need to tell you this. When we started to write a book, we decided to go back to that moment when Soviet Union collapsed, exactly 31 years ago. And we were standing in a train station saying goodbye to my husband's auntie and uncle and cousins, because they were going to America. When Soviet Union collapsed, so many people, believers, Christians, who were persecuted during Soviet Union, and the Jewish people, and this is part of my husband's heritage, Jewish people, they were trying to escape when they got the window of opportunity. So they were living to New York, and I remember Zhenya's cousin told him, okay, you are next, we are waiting for you. And we were literally sitting on our suitcases. We were waiting for my husband to finish Conservatory of Music. He actually got PhD in music, and right now he is doing music therapy for autistic kids. This is his ministry. He said, it's one thing to preach to the multitudes, but it's another thing to touch one human at a time. So he is doing this daily. Yes. But the reason I'm telling you this story, because God knew he needed us in Ukraine. So we were ready to leave 30 years ago, but God wanted to write a story. And for 30 years, we were involved in Ukrainian church development. We gave our life to Jesus, not just for our sake, but for our country. And I just said to Debbie, just a moment before we enter, you don't even understand what America and you and your church and your pastor played in our salvation and in that epoch book we are writing. And it's not finished yet. Exactly a year ago, we did not know what would happen right now. But we felt God spoke to us, and God said, 2022, you will focus on Ukraine more than ever. And God will close one page and he will start to write another page. Not that 30 years were bad. They were awesome, amazing, because God established the foundation. But to build a church right there in the post-Soviet countries, he needs to get rid of this evil spirit. So maybe when you look at the news and you see what's going on in Ukraine and Russia, you think, oh, it's a war. It's not a war. It's a spiritual war. It is a spiritual war. People will give you lots of different explanations why and when and what. But believe me, we are from there. We know. The enemy, 30 years ago, he could not kill the seed. Do you remember Jesus? when Jesus was a baby, the enemy killed all the babies in the city where Jesus was born because he wanted to kill the seed. The enemy could not kill the seed. But now, 30-year-old church back there in Ukraine and in Russia, because we planted churches in Ukraine, in Kiev, and back then, and then in Moscow, in Russia, for a reason. So it's not the end of the story yet. It's not. So keep praying. Please keep praying, okay? I just wanted to tell you this introduction. So your pastors will be in that book, definitely. My message this morning called The Great Mountain. And when we are thinking about mountain, we are obviously thinking about mountain of the Lord. Is it true? We visited Israel a few times because, as I told you, my husband and my heritage are Jewish. So we decided we need to go to the land where our ancestors were promised to have a blessed life. And every time we go to Israel, we feel at home. Something inside of you, some roots inside of you, they call you back. But you know, it's more, even more important to have the roots of Christ in you. Because no matter what's happened, you always feel like you want to go back. So when we were in Israel, we went to this mountain, last place where Jesus was praying for his disciples. And if you read the Gospel of John chapter 17, you could read his prayer. The most amazing prayer in the Bible when he is praying about church, about his disciples, and actually he is praying about us because he is saying, he said, I'm praying for these disciples and for everyone who would believe. So if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this prayer, John 17, is for you. And he was praying about unity on that mountain. So when we are thinking about mountain, when I was thinking about mountain, I was thinking about the beautiful place, amazing God's presence. But do you know, when Bible is talking about great mountains, it's not just about the mountain of God, but mountain of the enemy. And before I go to the message I want to preach, it's not going to be long. I want to do a little introduction. The last 3 months, whole spring, have been emotionally difficult for me because I was physically in the USA, but with all my thoughts and all my heart, I was with my people, with my family and friends in Ukraine, as you would understand. I will not tell you about the war and all of the horrors that millions of Ukrainians have experienced during these 3 months. Because you could see it a lot. This is probably the first time in the history of the humankind you can see the war online. And maybe what you see here in America, it's not what we see in Zhenya and I when people on the ground send us pictures and videos and tell us stories daily. So we were not there physically, but we were so immersed in that situation. And as you know, Pastor Debbie already said, Zhenya's mom and dad, they're still in Kiev. They could leave. They got American visa. Their daughter is American citizen. They could easily be brought here legally, but they decided to stay in Ukraine, and you cannot do anything. These people, they're crazy. They're Christians. They said, we're going to stay in Kiev. We're going to pray for Kiev. You pray for our protection, and we will pray for our city. We want to see the victory, and they're Christians. And they said, we are 70 plus. It doesn't really matter. God told us 70, 80, 90. It's okay. If God wants us to live, we will live. They're true Christians. And lots of people like them. But it was hard for us because we felt guilty. Like, what can we do? And sometimes when you cannot do much, you don't know what to do. You feel like heaviness and guilt. Is it true? Because almost daily I was on the phone with my people, mostly women, my sisters in Christ. So this is my first women's meeting, and I'm so happy to see your faces because you represent my sisters in Ukraine. And how amazing, because we cannot do gatherings like this yet, but I'm planning to do this. I'm planning to go to Ukraine as soon as I can, but we cannot now because my husband is a Ukrainian citizen. The moment he crossed the border, they would not let him out. Because all of those girls, they are outside of Ukraine, millions of them with children for 3 months without their husbands. Because all the men, they are required to stay in Ukraine. And you know, they're not angry about it because they understand they need to protect their family. They need to protect their land. So million Ukrainians refugees in Europe are mostly women and children. And that's the reason my husband and I cannot go to Ukraine right now physically. But we will do this as soon as end of August, probably the martial law will finish. We pray for this. And the moment I go there, we will do lots of women's gathering because believe me, they need gathering in the presence of God more than ever right now. But I'm sure God put us here in USA for such a time as this. And when I started to feel guilt that I'm not there, I pray that God will tell me why am I here in the USA when my heart is with my people. God gave me picture of three people. He answered me. He gave me picture of three heroes from the Bible. And he told me that sometimes he removed us. He removed us from the people in order to serve bigger purposes, to serve better. And to save more. So sometimes when I got saved, God removed me from my family for a season. But later on, every person in my family, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my brothers, my sister, everyone, they were saved. But at first, they wouldn't understand it. At first, my dad would tell me, and you know, my dad spent most of his life in prison. I was not from a very good family, and he would tell me, you serve God, I serve devil. End of story. Don't tell me about God. But the moment came when he was 72, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And I'm not saying cancer brought him to Jesus. I know God melted his heart and prepared his. So he ended up being Christian. He could not change his life a lot, but at least he believed and he gave his heart to Jesus. So when God, yes, thank you, Jesus, when God gave me a picture of the three heroes, not in any way I put myself in line with those three, but at least that gave me a picture of what I could do for God in this situation. God showed me Moses, Joseph, and Esther. Moses, Joseph, and Esther, all three were from Jewish nation. Each of them God ordained to be removed from their people for a purpose. I know you know the stories of the three, but think about it. Moses was saved by his mom, adopted and raised in Pharaoh's home as Egyptian. He was Jewish, but he was raised in Egyptian territory. In Egyptian culture. And you would think, why would God allow this to happen? Because God knew Moses would be the one who would deliver his people from the slavery. But you know, in order to protect someone, to care and raise someone for the bigger purposes in the future, God is doing this sometime. God knew that one day Moses would face Pharaoh and do all God asked him to do to deliver Israel nation. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He ended up in prison first and then as a prime minister of another nation. Just so he can save his brothers who sold him into slavery and actually a whole nation from starvation. So you see, sometimes you look at the situation and you think, why am I here? And God said, don't worry, if you love me, if you trust me, and if you are willing, I will show you the purpose of it. Esther, she was taken It was not her choice. Nobody asked her. She was taken to another nation. She was taken to the palace and became a queen of their king. So one day she can save her nation from being destroyed. When God showed me Moses, Joseph, and Esther, I started to feel what they felt. When Moses saw his people suffering, do you remember the first reaction? He killed the Egyptian. So sometimes when we are doing something out of God's will, we actually not helping. We need to be patient and wait. So 3 months ago, I was praying and I said, God, what can I do? I got my ticket. I'm ready to fly to Ukraine. Even if my husband cannot, I'm going there. And my husband asked, what are you going to do there? Why are you risking your life? You can do this, but think about outcome. And think about if you are here now, maybe God has a bigger purposes for you. All three could not do what they did if they would be among their people when disaster happens. And Jenya and I started to do something what only us could do outside of Ukraine during this season. First of all, we were raising awareness of people in the West and around the world because God gave us this platform, and we know people in California, we know people in South Africa, we know people in Australia, in Germany, in Canada, in other parts of the world, and they know us, and they follow social media, and we send emails, and we said to them, we need your help. It's not a political plea, it's a plea for our people. We were using social media to tell reality of what happened in Ukraine. Because Ukraine is a Bible belt of post-Soviet Union countries. We were the first, but when our church started 30 years ago, we were training and raising and discipling people and starting churches. And other people, they started churches. We got missionaries, most of the missionaries in Russia, they are Ukrainian pastors. So now when our people go to Germany or to Poland, refugees, do you know they go to the churches with Ukrainian pastors? Because Ukrainian pastors, they were spreading the gospel all around. We were raising support and we became a bridge between the need on the ground and the helping hand of the people around the world. Because sometimes you want to help and you don't know what to do. Yes, you can give to some organization, which is great, but it's another thing when you give to people you know their faces, you know what they're doing. And you know, we were doing these conferences back in Ukraine with hundreds and hundreds of pastors. And we got all of those information. People who were doing God's job and work before war happened. You can trust them. So every time we contact every person, every pastor we know, we ask them what they're doing. So you are seeing the news about different cities, what's happening in Kharkiv or what happened in Bucha and other places. In those places, we got churches and pastors who never left. They stayed with their people and they made their church a hub. In some churches, we bought a Balkan beds and we put refugees. In other churches, it's like a big shopping mall where people can come and shop for free. You know, because of the church, Ukraine is standing. It's true because of the church. I know the world doesn't want to hear it, but it's the truth. All of those volunteers, they're Christians. All of those people who are doing amazing job outside in Poland, they're Christians. We were saving, evacuating, feeding and the Ukrainians from war zones through dozens of churches all around Ukraine whom we knew during this 25, 30 years of ministry in Ukraine. But after these 3 months, I realized that it is time for pastors to start to teach full gospel. Because You know, it's not enough to come to the nation and say Jesus loves you, he wants to bless you, he is here to heal you, he is here to expand your business, and it's great. But this is only half of the gospel. Because we do have another half. And during the 3 months, I saw something. People were not ready for disaster. People that were not ready for suffering. And even some preach that suffering is that when you do something wrong. No, it's not true. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. So people started to question, what's wrong with us? Maybe it's our fault. At first, Ukrainian women, they gathered and they started to say, forgive us, Lord, we sin, which is great. But it's not enough to sit and cry. You need to go to the mountain. You need to go to the presence of God. And you need to proclaim too. I have always lived in a plain. I never seen mountain in my life until I turned like 30 years of age. Because I grew up in Soviet Union, I never traveled. And we didn't have mountains on the most part of Ukraine. So same, when you are a baby in Christ, everything is plain. When you are a baby in Christ, Paul said, I will give you milk. But are you ready for solid food this morning? Amen. Are you ready for solid food? Dear Lord, I'm praying right now. Holy Spirit, come and overshadow us. We want to be in your presence. We are already in your presence and we can feel it, but we want to feel it even more. Talk to us, God. Use me, use my lips, use my thoughts. Use the knowledge of my, limited knowledge of my English to share what's in my heart. And I'm praying right now for all of these beautiful ladies in this auditorium, but also for my sisters in Ukraine and sisters all around the world, because we are one big family. We are girls of our Heavenly Father. And I'm praying right now for this word to go deep into our heart and produce lasting fruit. I want to read Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. When we are reading about this, I'm not going to go into details because, first of all, this is prophet Zechariah, and the way he speaks, it's very difficult to interpret. Lots of metaphors. But when you read about this mountain, you think about mountain of God, but actually it's not. This is, I call it evil mountain. Great, big, not great as good, but great as huge. And God is saying through the prophet, who are you? Basically, who do you think are you? Great mountain. Zerubbabel, you shall become, before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. I'm prophesying this morning. If you have this evil mountain in your life, just put your name instead of Zerubbabel. What name? How can you pronounce this? How do you pronounce this? Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel. Okay, in Russian it's Zaravavel. So I need to relearn how to say all of those names. And in Jewish it's even different. So put your name here. Before Vera, you shall become a plain. Before, and you put your name. Who are you? Book of Zechariah contains a large amount of visionary metaphors. Those symbols are not easy to interpret. But when we are talking about this mountain, it could be power, or evil person, or any opposition on your way to do God's assignments. So you see, during the 3 months, I realized there is a mountain inside of my nation. There is a mountain, and we did not teach well our people how to deal with it. Because babies are not fighting. We protect them. But then we need to grow up and become adults. And we need to face that mountain with the attitude. Who do you think you are? It could be a problem or adversity attacking you when you build something for God. It could be evil attack or obstacle blocking the promises of God in your life. Yes, this is metaphor. You can put anything you want, but it is a picture of something immovable. You know, during the 3 months, I'm a worship leader myself, so I was not leading worship because we were traveling and preaching in different places. It's a different season in my life. But this song, move the immovable, break the unbreakable, God we believe. God, we believe for it. Do you remember the song she started? They told this mountain can't be moved. Amen. But God is saying, before this, not even before God, but before you, before you, before you, it will become a plane. Bible is saying that nothing is too great for our God. So yes, we have this mountain right now in the middle of Ukraine. But we as women of Ukraine, as women of God's kingdom, we cannot say, oh, we are going to die. That's it. No. So during the 3 months, yes, we were helping people. We were feeding, we were covering, we were saving. But I realized it's not enough to take care of your body and even your soul. Your spirit needs to learn how to fight this mountain. How to stood up and tell this mountain who is the boss. And sometimes we don't teach this enough in our churches. We don't teach that we are stronger than our enemy. So first couple of weeks, I was crying. I was a mess. I do have faith. My name, Vera, in Russian means faith. Amen. I do have faith, but faith was not enough. I needed to do something with that mountain which looks completely immovable. Don't get me wrong. It is great. It is huge. It looks scary. But if you want to show the great mountain who is the boss, then you need to speak to it on equal terms. Not looking, oh, you need to go to another mountain which is higher than this one. I'm speaking about two mountains right now. It's like two big elephants fighting, you know? You would need to go to the top of that another mountain to be able to crush the evil one it under your feet. Do you remember the promise God gave to? He said that you, as a descendant of Eve, you will put your feet. So something needs to be under. If this great mountain is huge and high, you need to go higher. That's a word. We need to go higher. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who brings joy, who proclaim salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You know, on the mountains, as Christians, we cannot just walk on a plane. We need to be higher than this, if you will. We need to go to high places all the time. So when I realize, okay, I cannot just sit and cry. Yes, God told me to cry with those who cry, but I cannot just cry with them. I need to do something. That's why I was on the phone. I was so busy. I said to my husband, I'm sorry, but I need to quit my job for at least a couple of months until this war is completely done. But even to win this war, can you imagine the level of trauma and how big is a task in front of the churches and pastors and preachers and counselors? Because all of these women, they're fighting right now, but inside of their heart, and all of those children, they see in something they should not see. This is very traumatic season, and we have lots of work to do. But when we go there, it's not enough to give them food and shelter. You need to teach them how to go to the mountain of the Lord. When I was just got saved, I read the Pilgrim's Progress. Have you heard about this book? Pilgrim's Progress. He was going up the mountain and it was a narrow path, very difficult. The hardest thing is when your closest people and friends and sometimes even family, they don't understand you. But we still have to go and move and pray for those who do not understand us and leave them and go up. One day, God will light a light inside of their head. He will enlighten their mind. But you need to go to the top. And why you need to go to the top of that mountain? Not the evil one, but the mountain of the Lord. Ezekiel 43:12, it says, this is the law of the temple. The whole area surrounding the mountain top is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the temple. When you go to the top of the mountain, this is a metaphor about the Holy of Holies. When I stop watching the news, when I stop worrying, when I soak myself into God's presence and I started to pray and intercede and I started to worship with this song, I believe God. When I started to go higher and higher in my spirit, I realized I can do more. I found strength. I found courage. So when now people are saying, where is this courage coming from in Ukrainians? I'm telling you, for 30 years, we implant the presence of God. Implant the presence of God. Debbie said we were professional musicians. We still are, but we were professional musicians. And I remember my husband said to pastor, who was the first pastor in our church in 1992, why do we need to stay here? I'm finishing Conservatory of Music. I will go to America, to my family. Why do I need to stay here? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. And our pastor said to him, but in your land, there is no worship in Russian language. There is no worship in Ukrainian. It simply does not exist. I know it's hard for you to believe because worship here is everywhere, even in shopping mall, airport, everywhere, coffee shop, everywhere, not just in your home. But in our land, we did not have worship at all, zero. And even Christians who were underground, they only pray because if they would worship, their neighbors would tell the KGB people, they would come and put them to prison or kill them. So worship was completely erased from our land. And he said to us, this pastor, our first pastor, he said, maybe, just maybe, God wants to use you to establish, to pioneer the worship in your land. So I remember when we did our first album and then second one, we translated lots of songs from English into Russian. And then we write some songs. 30 years later, right now, we got more than 400 songs recorded. And viral post on Facebook. Someone put, people are escaping under the sirens and bombs and they're singing this song, which I record. 20 years ago. And I was listening to this song and I started to cry because I could not believe how God can use. Like, this is just a song. Why God needs my gift, my voice? But, you know, when moment comes and you need to go to the mountains, you need this song. This will encourage and push people toward the top of that mountain. As I said, you can help human body, but someone's spirit is lifted only in the Holy of Holies at the top. So if you are facing your mountain and you're expecting people to help you, you know, they can do so much, but they cannot fix you. It's impossible to fix you. Don't expect this from people. And believe me, I'm not expecting, and Ukrainians, and especially women, they don't expect anyone to come and fix our soul and our hearts and our spirit, because only God can do it. When I was little girl, I looked through the keyhole. Do you have this, like, when you got a door? How do you call it? Keyhole? Yeah. I also want to do it right now. I just want to look and see what's in the future. People are asking questions, when this war is going to finish? When I will be healed? When this struggles will end? Like, why this mountain is still there? I want to look through keyhole and I want to know what's in the future. How long should I wait? Is it a month, a year, or 10 years? How long should I wait? I look to where I expected something interesting for myself, some answers, some clue. What's behind that closed door? What God is hiding there? I was curious, and sometimes people, because of that curiosity, they pushed themselves to horoscopes, fortune tellers. They're gonna lie to you anyway. Why not to go to the mountain and see everything in a full view? Is it true? We are driven by this interest. What's in there? What's in the future? What's behind the closed door? But we don't need horoscopes for that. We have God and He does not hide. The veil is already torn and we don't need keyholes. It says the veil is torn and God said, come to me, I will show you. But the problem is, to come to Him, we need to ascend. It's not that easy, you know? To remember that pilgrim, it was a difficult road. And sometimes we think, oh, I will just sit, close my eyes, and I will be there. Boom! It's only in a movie, like, you can go back or go somewhere in a moment. Door of heaven is already open, wide open. And through Jesus, who is the door, we can come and see. Revelation 4:1-2 says, you know, I look at the heaven, John said, I look at the heaven and behold, a door was open in heaven. I just needed to ascend. The word ascend here in this context is also translated as rise to me. Rise to me. If you see the huge mountain, immovable mountain, huge obstacle or attack on you, or war is raging, rise to me, says the Lord. Oh, how can I ascend? Who will open that door for me? It's already open. John 10:9, yes, I am the gate. I am the door, says the Lord. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely. And we'll find good pasture freely. I don't know about you, I was not raised in church. So when someone from America came and told me, there is a God in heaven who not just loves you, but open to you, available, accessible. I don't want to know about God who loves me on the distance. I want to know when I am sitting in that bomb shelter, God is here, right here with me. And being under the building in a bomb shelter, I could be on the top of the mountain. Amen. It's possible. Yes. It's possible. So if you go through Jesus, He is your door. Door to the entrance and exit. And you will find what you are looking for. So first couple of weeks, I was a mess. Me being Vera, Faith, Pastor, because I'm a human being. I'm a woman. I do have feelings. I do have fears. And I did not know what to do. But the only way for me to be strong, and I needed to be strong for the sake of others. Sometimes you need to be strong for the sake of others. But please, please, hear my heart. Don't fake it. Don't pretend you are strong. If you see the huge, great mountain, you need to be able to go to the stage when you say, who do you think are you? Who are you, great mountain? You will be playing in front of me. And I will walk above you with my 2 feet. Because you are not greater than my God. But you cannot just say it. You need to believe it. You need to be there. The door to heaven is already open. It is our responsibility to be in the Spirit. It's not just going to happen instantly. Only because I know for 30 years I was studying the Bible and I know some of the verses. Only because I preach the Word of God to others, it does not automatically work for me until I choose, okay, I want to be in the Spirit. Not just in a word, but in a spirit. Do you know the difference? You can know the word, but in your spirit you are worrying, you cannot sleep at night, you need to be in a spirit. So there is no condemnation when you are in a word, but not in a spirit. There is no condemnation because we are human beings, we need to choose. We need to say to our feelings, to our emotions, to our worries, we need to say, okay, now I will bring you to the top of that mountain when you will feel in God's presence strong, encouraged, and confident. I think that every normal believer wants to ascend to God and look and see this great and inaccessible. Yes, we will not see the future there. I will tell you the truth. You're not going to see everything what will happen. Because God is, I don't know why God is doing this. He wants us to trust. Because if he's going to show us everything, actually he showed us the end, but not whole way. He did not say, there is a way. No, I'm the way. He wants to walk with us. And I don't know, I was reading Psalms one day and like, why is it it's only lamp to my feet? Like just here. Not the lamp to my like whole way. Just, okay, now next one. Just next step. He will not show you a future. But what we will see at that top, we will see God. And we will feel like, oh, calm and peace. God is here. Yes, it is storm all around, but when I see Jesus, I'm talking a lot about the first pastor, the people who came and brought gospel, because they put foundation in us. I remember that pastor gave the first Bible to my husband, and my husband, Jenny, he asked, can you write something? And he wrote, and I will never forget, look at Jesus. Whatever happened, people can betray you, people can fail, people can lie. God will never fail. Everything can happen. War can rage. Sickness can come. God will never fail. Look at Jesus. God is saying, you can see me at the top. Your eyes will see the king. Actually, it's Isaiah 33:13. I don't have time to read it, but Isaiah 33:13, it says, hear, you who are far off, what I will do. And then up till 17, read it at home. Because in verse 17, it says, your eyes will see the king in his beauty. You will see God in his beauty. Not the future. God never promised to show you the future. He will show you the glimpse of the things you need to do through prophecy, but not the full future. He will not show you what will be tomorrow. But he showed you and told you the end. And the end become a great motivator to live a godly life and serve him. Because he promised, you will be with me. Everything will be fine. Don't worry. All the wars and challenges and obstacles and problems and tribulation you will have here on earth. It's not what I intended, but that's a reality of sinful world. This is not God's design. But everything will be all right. Make decision. If you see that great mountain, evil one, go as high as possible. And moreover, build your house as high as possible. Live there. live on the highs. Because God is your refuge. You don't need to beg God for bread. The spiritual food is there. Water and freshness of your life will never run out. Your eyes will see the beauty of the King. You will be moved by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And I want to finish with this. When you read prophets, and you know, I love prophets. When I read prophets, all of those promises and metaphors which paint the picture of God. I'm telling a lot about my trip to Israel because we got few. Every time we go there, we don't go as a tourist. We all go like pilgrims. The last time we were there, we visited the grave of Malachi and Zechariah. And I was fascinated because they dug this grave with their hands. It's like so much of the Bible gets alive there. So if you get a chance at least once in a lifetime to go there, please do. But don't go to the beach there. Go to the places where Jesus walked, okay? So when you are reading a story about Jesus and Peter, when he wanted to know God more and experience him more, Jesus says, do you want to see? Do you want to go? And he always said, please, go. You want to walk on water? Go. So it all comes from the motivation of your heart. Nobody will drag you to the top of the mountain. If you think I will come to church and with this message, pastor will drag me up there, or the worship leader will do this for me. Never, ever. It's come from your wrong decision to ascend. Okay? Remember the word of God. Come to me. If you are weary and you are burned, come to me. Come and drink. So it always starts with come. Come. Don't push him to me. Bring them to me. No, you come. Okay? This is the language of heaven. This is a reflection of attitude of heaven. God is saying, I love you so much, I would never push you. I would never make you. You choose. You come. But it's only one condition. You say, oh, it's so easy to go to the top of the mountain, to fight with the evil mountain. But there are conditions. And this will be my last thought and last point. Have you seen the movie Indiana Jones? Probably you do, everyone. To remember that moment when he was thinking, he was trying to interpret old metaphor, like how to go to the sclep, I don't know how to call it, and it says only the humble can, only the penitent will pass. And he couldn't understand what this means, and then he realized he needs to kneel. It's exactly the same. If you think you can go to Holy of Holies without kneeling, you are mistaken. You need to humble yourself. There is a story in the Bible, two men standing in church, and one of them saying, oh, I'm so good. And another one is saying, I'm a sinful person, God, please have mercy on me. The person who was humble could go to the top of the mountain. And this is a condition. Only the one with a humble, who humbles himself will enter. Proverbs 25:6. Do not magnify yourself before the King. Don't try to come to God and say, God, I did this for you. I did that for you. Look, God, you asked me to do this. Look, I did it. Don't bring to God your fruits. He already knows this. And you are doing this for him. So when people asking me and my husband, like, but you did so much for the Russian-speaking world, we said, you know what? We just did what was required. Amen. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. We did it for him. And when we did our job, we could go and do something else. We don't need titles. My name is Vera. I don't need any other name before my name. I don't need all of those. I don't know. It's okay and it's right when people are grateful and when they honor you for your commitment. But all of those fruits God gave me this gift, I gave it back to Him. And when you listen to those songs, 400 songs, nobody knows who is singing it. People don't know this is my name. People, because there is no my face there is no my name unless it's on video. People are listening to this, to those songs, and they're singing it. I don't get money for it. Okay, I recorded 27 albums, translated 600 songs. Not one penny was paid to me for this. Not one, I promise you. And even when people wanted to do this, I said, no. I know God will find a way how to bless me. But I'm doing this for Him and for His kingdom, for my people, for worship to be in my land. And now you're clapping to me, not to me. You're clapping to God. Because what Pastor Debbie said, she said, God used us when we were completely like nobody and nothing. Exactly the same with us. Why would He use us? And I want to be the one who lives on the top of the mountain in God's presence. And to be there, I need to stay humble. To be there, I need to understand we are all equal in His eyes. We just got different responsibility. Now I'm preaching here, but maybe in 5 years, you will be preaching there. Here, I will be sitting there. It doesn't matter who is doing what. We are all doing what God wants us to do in a certain season. But all of us needs to be on the top of the mountain, not just me. So when during this season in Ukraine, I'm coming back and I'm wrapping it up. When during this season in Ukraine, I realize I am not there, that was God's plan. Because all of these girls and women, they started to call me and asking me, oh, you are not there, if you only would be here. And it just reminded me of Jesus. Jesus, disciples, do you remember? Jesus, if you would only be here, Lazarus would not die. You know, as people, we put so much trust and faith in other people, and we think they're more powerful, they're more confident, they're more courageous. Not at all. I'm not there because you don't need me, you need Him. You need Him. And maybe that's why God removed me from there. So you would need more Him than me. Sometimes this happens with our children. Oh, mama, mama. No. Fly solo now. I love you, but if you fall, I'm not going to catch you this time. Is it true? You don't have to impress the king. You don't have to be someone you are not. You don't need to inflate your words and come with the attitude that you know everything, because humility is a key to go to the top of that higher mountain. There can be two in church. One stand confident and the other confused. What do you think? Jesus asked. Who will see God and His work in their life? And I love it when Jesus asks questions and make us think. Peter, 1 Peter 5:6 says, therefore humble yourself under His mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in a due time. Okay, 1 Peter 5:6 says, have you seen exalt? The word exalt? Have you seen exalt here? He will exalt you. And when I read it, when we read it, we think, oh, He will reward me. Or He will put me in high esteem. Or people will clap me. He will exalt me, which means we are thinking like human beings. I probably become a president or prime minister. He will exalt me, probably I will have a promotion. We are thinking so small. Exalt means He will lift me to the top of the mountain. Because when I am there, everything else falls in places. So sometimes I don't know, it's too high, God. I don't know how to go to your Holy of Holies. And God said, just humble yourself and I will lift you up. Lift you up into my presence, to the great mountain. So you would look at that great mountain from the top of my presence and you will say, who do you think you are? Oh, great mountain. I'm looking at you right now. You are so small in my view. The best moments of my Christian life and the moments of the mountain, I will write about in my book. And you know, I'm writing about this because I want to go back and remember. I want my children and my grandkids to remember. I want to be, I will read one verse, last one, Proverbs 15:24. I want to be the person who is always going up. It doesn't mean I'm not going to fall down because everyone is falling, without exception. Because we can do stupid steps. Slippery slope, how you say, yeah? Stupid, not intentionally even. Sometimes intentionally, but sometimes not. But what I love here, the way of the life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from the hell below. And when I read this in English, and actually it's Russian too, upward, below. It's either upward or below. You choose where to go. If you are wise, okay, I'm too low, I need to go up. I'm too low in my mood or in my attitude. I am too low in my decision-making process. I am too low in this sphere of my life. I am too low in my commitments to my husband, to my children, to my church, to my work, to my anything. I am too low. You need to evaluate yourself and say, am I going up in every sphere or am I going down? No one is pushing you down. As people, we tend to believe, oh, everyone wants me down. No, God wants you up. And everyone else's opinion doesn't really matter. God wants you up. So always remember, if you're a wise person, okay, God wants me up. I'm too low in this area. I need to bring it up. I'm too low in this area. I need to bring it up. So right now, I'm going to pray for all of us. And I will ask you, please, pray for the great mountain in my country. Not for the great mountain, evil one, but for the greatest mountain, presence of God above Ukraine. Because this war is not about territory, believe me. This war about spiritual dominion. We need to rebuild our churches in Ukraine and then in Russia. And then in Russia, we still got Russian Christians and pastors who are silent right now because they would be put into prison for 15 years just to say in one word, war. They're not even allowed to say it. Can you believe the oppression, the level of oppression? But I'm praying for you right now, my dear sisters. Yes, I'm Ukrainian. You can see that on my, I'm proudly wearing my national costume. You can see this everywhere now because on the TV, because us Ukrainian, we just want to say we are not proud in our nationality, but we are proud that when we can be ourselves. We can wear what we want to wear. We can cook the food we want to eat. We want to be free to choose what to believe. And if we want to believe that God is for us, and God is not religion, because there is a mountain of religion, then we want to be free to do this. And I ask you to pray for our people also, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm praying right now for all my sisters here. I am not God, I don't know their situation, but Holy Spirit, you are everywhere. And you are inside of every household where people believe in you. I'm praying right now for my sister, doesn't matter what age. God, you are working in kids, in adults, in seniors, in teenagers, because you are interested in every human being. And right now I'm praying about those mountains in our lives, evil mountains, immovable. And some people say, you cannot move it. And you cannot even go through it because it's too difficult, too hard. The obstacles seems unbearable. So I'm praying right now, God, you gave us in your word the way to deal with it. And I'm praying right now, give us the eyes to see and the ears to hear what your word is saying, that we are able to go higher. We are able to enter the Holy of Holies. We will read our Bible, we will pray, we will worship. We will focus on you, Jesus. And we will enter through you, Jesus, into God's presence daily, morning, lunch, night. Even during night, your word would teach us. We will pray in the Spirit. We will tell people how awesome you are and about your great salvation, because on that mountains, the feet are those who bring the good news. And I'm praying right now, God, when we are doing this, when we are doing everything what's in our power, you will do amazing work and you will make this big, huge, evil mountain as plain. It will disappear in front of our eyes. But we will not just wait in silence, inactive. We will do everything possible to be in your presence, to be among your people, to rejoice and to love and to serve and to give and to preach. And we trust, God, you will do something we cannot do ourselves. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.